Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1520 KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. Call Kim now to share your journey, 805-289-1520. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, and another amazing day here on AM 1520 KVTA, and you are tuning in right now to The Kim Pagano Show. I am your host, and if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I am grateful for you to join us here, and I bring a variety of guests that are very passionate about what they do, and I'm excited to have Marcia and Sharon in my studio. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
How good afternoon.
All right. And I've got our acupuncture. He is, he advertises, you hear his radios on my show, but not only that, he's one of the most passionate men in the health industry. And I definitely want to welcome Roland.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me.
All right. I'm excited. Roland Reif is a licensed acupuncturist and specializes in acupuncture using functional medicine, Eastern and Western. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, are we keeping up with our New Year's? Well, what are we talking about?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
What are we going to talk about?
Well, since it's New Year, maybe check in with everybody of how we're doing with New Year's resolutions or not.
Definitely, and what we're going to think about for the year, right?
Yes.
There you go. And our first guest, I'm really excited, is Guy Finley. And Guy Finley is a director of Life of Learning Foundation, the nonprofit self-realization school in Merlin, Oregon. And his popular key lesson, he gets emails from 200,000 subscriptions and people from all over the country. And his work is widely endorsed by doctors, business professionals, celebrities, and religious leaders from all over. And we're going to talk about the essential laws of fearless living. And I don't know if any of you out there, I know me, sometimes it holds me back a little bit. And so I thought this would be an amazing way to get through our life. And, you know, I'm all about right now is really taking control of our life. And taking control of my life in every area.
You mean we're not supposed to have panic attacks in the middle of the night?
Do you know, I do that a lot lately. That's scary.
I wake up thinking of things that I need to get done or whatever.
You know, I'm going to talk to Roland about that a little bit, if that's normal or if that's just, I don't know. But anyways, I do want to also talk with our next guest after Guy is going to be Aurora Winter. And she is formerly a film and TV executive producer. And she is a leading expert in empowering people to go through from heartbreak to happiness. We've had her on our show before. And this time she's going to be talking about, let's see here. I'm like...
Heartbreak to happiness.
Thank you. No, but her newest book is Grief Relief in 30 Minutes. And so it's just all about really getting all that stuff out of us. And then Sharon, you're going to talk to us a little bit about...
I'm going to talk to you about your vision for the year, but specific things that you can do besides the vision board that we spoke about that we're going to do in order to really have a happy life and what your lifestyle is going to be like.
There you go. Well, if you are just tuning in right now, I'm so glad you're here again. You know, I welcome all these positive, amazing tools that we give you on this show and share us with your friends. And also, you can find us on Facebook at Kim Pagano Show. And if you miss any part of my show, if you're walking in somewhere or you can't hear it, you can always download them on my they're all downloaded on my website, kimpaganoshow.com, and I look forward to hearing from you. All right, so let's bring our first guest on, Guy Finley. Guy, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Oh, welcome. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you.
How's the new year working out for you?
It's been pretty spectacular. I don't have any complaints at all. I'm grateful for really for everything that happens.
Thank you. And I love that. We're going to be talking a little bit about your book, The Courage to be Free, Discover Your Original Fearless Self. When did you write that?
The Courage to be Free, and you'll forgive me because I've written quite a few books. I believe it was the second to the last newest book. So that would probably be 2 years ago, actually.
Wow. Okay. And so what's your newest book right now?
Well, the newest book is The Seeker, The Search, The Sacred, Journey to the Greatness Within. Wow. But The Courage to be Free is a part of it. It's a trio of hardcover books that Red Wheel Weiser wants to put out as a collection, really.
Okay.
So The Courage to be Free is the first, Seeker, Search, Sacred, second book, and the third book called Breaking Dependency will be out next year.
Oh, there you go. That kind of falls right in that line, right?
Yeah.
So for anybody that hasn't heard of you, Guy Finley, Essential Laws of Fearless Living, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, Kim. Well, first, I think just for clarity's sake, The Courage to be Free is the title of a book, and The Essential Laws of Fearless Living is the title of the book before The Courage to be Free. So we don't confuse the listeners as to titles.
Okay, perfect.
And then, you know, the short story, Kim, is that I was born and raised in Beverly Hills, the son of a man who became Time Magazine Man of the Year. I was raised with the children of the Sinatras, the Minellis, the Arnezes, the Martins. I ran with, what a lot of people would think would be the creme de la creme of Hollywood. And by the time I reached, I guess it was 18 years old, I realized that this thing was a farce, that there were inherent problems, let's put it that way. I wasn't negative about everything. I was grateful for what I was given, but there were so many contradictions in the behavior of the individuals supposedly blessed by life and yet full of bitterness and anger, dysfunctional, drugs, alcohol, across the board, and full of fear. So in a young man, started when I was 6 years old, didn't have its first culmination until I was like 17, 18, I couldn't reconcile this extraordinary contradiction. And that's really where my search began, around the age of 7 years old, to try and understand why men and women who seemed to have everything were also so full of fear and anger. And that led me, if you will, through a career. My partner, Tony Martin Jr., we became the first soft rock artist ever to sign with Motown Records. I wrote award-winning music for motion pictures and television, but quit entirely when I was 27 in order to answer the questions that had never been put to rest through my career. I traveled the world for a couple of years to see if I could meet anyone anywhere in the world that could answer these disturbing questions as to why it is that nothing that we win ever really brings permanent happiness, and why what we do win often turns into be a form of slavery as opposed to liberation.
Wow. Let's just start right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
anywhere you want.
Okay, so that resonates with me. You know, Sharon, you and I were talking.
It goes back to the fact of we are driven by accomplishment, and we're defined by what we do, not by who we are.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, Sharon said, okay, you know, and in looking at anybody's life, what is your home run? Okay, so you have your home run. How does that make you feel? Do you feel like, I'm okay with that, or do you want more? Where does it go?
I think the difference is when it's not your accomplishment. I mean, when you are born into privilege and everything is given to you, there's a lot of guilt that goes along with that, because you can't rectify why you have so much and yet you haven't done anything for it. And some people can come out of that, and some people unfortunately get buried by it.
Well, I have to tell you that my discoveries through the years prove that's absolutely not so. Although, of course, it is true, because you see so many children become ruined by affluence. But I could tell you personal stories of meeting with individuals. I mean, just as an example, most people don't remember Robert Young these days. but he was a great paternalistic figure, star of Father Knows Best, and a host of other major motion pictures. And he had contacted me, this is many years ago, and asked if I'd have a meal with him, because he'd read one of my books and wanted to talk to me about something. And you know what he told myself and my wife? He said, "I can't get over the feeling that I am the biggest fake that ever lived. I keep waiting for somebody to walk up to me and say, 'You're not anything like what you're pretending to be.'" And he said, "And basically, I live in fear all the time that someone is going to see that I am indeed just an actor."
Well, see, you're talking about two different things.
No, not at all.
Yes, because that gentleman did a lot of things on his own, and he still felt unaccomplished.
So we're
talking about people that are born into it that have not made anything of themselves yet.
With due respect, you're missing the point. It doesn't matter whether you come from affluence or not. What does matter is that individuals globally realize a certain degree of accomplishment, however they achieve it, and it is simply not enough. Mm-hmm. It only fulfills them long enough for a momentary sense of identity to flower, and then under law, that flower wilts and the individual finds himself searching one more time for the next thing through which he can feel or she can feel as though they are someone special.
Because you're saying, because they don't value themselves. They don't have that sense of confidence and self-esteem that comes from and we were talking about this the other day, about loving children unconditionally. Not loving them whether they get their grades at school or whether they do well at sports, but loving them no matter how they show up. I love you, but I don't necessarily like your behavior. I love you or I value you as a person, and yes, you're also accomplished in music or being an actor or whatever it is. And that's the nature of our society, I think. That's where we fall short.
Well, I think that if we can take that a little step further, that what you're saying is that unfortunately, and it is so, our sense of self, our identity, is a derivative presently of how we think other people see us.
Right.
And until we understand that the nature that lives in all of us, that measures itself according to any standard whatsoever, will always find itself fearful of A, either missing that mark, or B, having achieved it, finding that cultural and social conditions change, and now the thing by which I thought I was great becomes meaningless, mm-hmm. because now something else is required, something else is mandated for me to seem to be a successful person.
Mm. You know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now with us, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We've got a full studio here. I've got Marcia Hively and Sharon Savidson, and we've got Roland Reeve, and we're talking right now with Guy Finley, and the author of several books, but we're talking about The Courage to Be Free, discovering yourself, your original fearless self. And that's kind of where we're going, because there's so many things that we identify in this world. And sometimes that's not who, I mean, really not any, not even sometimes. We need to know who we are as the underlying person, correct, Guy? That's kind of what you're talking about.
Yes, in The Courage to Be Free, the opening story is about a wise old owl by the name of Solomon, who is the guardian of a forest. And one day he's flying around and he notices that there's five eagles and they're walking on the ground. Not only are they walking on the ground in a line, but they're wearing a helmet and goggles and a rain suit, carrying a book and a bag. And he goes down and he says, "What are you guys doing?" And obviously I can't tell the whole story, but the bottom line is that some months before, the crows in the forest, who do not want the eagles to be able to exhibit their natural powers and be able to fish freely, do the things they do, lied, if you will, to the eagles that they had to protect their eyes while they were flying. They needed a helmet in case they crashed into something. And the book for the best fishing guide was so they could walk safely from one place to another to find it. And the moral of the story is that something starts talking to this eagle nature in us. These conditioned thoughts and feelings begin to convince us that not only are we in jeopardy, but we need them to tell us who we are and what to do to be free.
I like it.
And we are, I mean, really it boils down to this, Kim. As we are asleep to ourselves. We don't know that we actually let our own thoughts and feelings first describe us, define our relationships, and then through the description and the definition, confine us to the world of those thoughts and feelings, which by their very nature are limited and seeking continuity. That's the nature of our fear, by and large, is that we live in a world that describes to us who we are and how we should be and what to do in given moments where we're challenged. That is not how we're meant to live.
I love it. And you know, so my question is, most of us have lived with fear for a long time, right?
Yes,
and
millennia.
Yeah, and so why do we feel so powerless?
Because the way fear works, let's take an example so everybody can get on the same page. Anxiety is a form of fear. When you're anxious, and Kim, you be the advocate for the listeners and the people in the studio. When we're anxious, do we not feel a certain kind of angst, a pressure in ourselves that is at once accompanied by a directive? Something is whispering to us in the midst of our anxiety what we are anxious over and what we need to do or where we need to go in order to liberate ourselves from the pain. Is that not true?
Absolutely. It's funny because I finally feel like I kind of ask my angels, what is it that I need? You know, and I think that people need to listen to that inner voice inside them. And well, I think we miss that. And that's kind of what I think you're talking about, correct?
In a way, but Kim, what I'm getting to here is that we're asking, why do we feel so powerless in the face of fear? Because when this anxiety or fear appears in our hearts and minds, it begins to give us a plan. It literally talks to us. But we don't know that it's fear talking to us when something is telling us how to protect ourselves from someone that hurt us or from something that we imagine is coming down the road. So that literally we ask fear what to do about being afraid. And we make fear and anxiety, we make these negative states, without knowing it, our God, because we ask for guidance. Fear cannot guide us anywhere other than through a repetitious, painful pattern. And it's the same with all negative states.
And I think it's about really being communicative, even with yourself. So it's like when someone says, I'm afraid of flying. They're not afraid of flying. They're afraid of falling or dying. So when you really tap into and you go to the deeper level, because the root of anger is fear. The root of anxiety is fear. The root of stress. It's fear of losing something or fear of something happening to you or somebody close to you. It's really teaching people to identify what is going on with them.
Yes.
And the difference between what they think and what they feel.
Yes, but now let's pull the curtain back just like little Toto did with the Wizard of Oz so we can see even deeper. Listeners, write this down. No psychological fear exists without negative imagination.
Mm.
No psychological fear exists without negative imagination. That means that in the moment where, oh, I'm going to get on a plane, the reason I'm afraid to get on a plane, if I am, is because my mind begins to project, as the other guest was saying, my falling, my death. I hear about some news, my mind begins to negatively paint a picture of what it's going to mean to me tomorrow or a year from now. And so the mind begins to make a negative image, and here's the key, that it doesn't know it's doing.
Okay.
Because then it begins to resist its own imagery.
Okay, guys, so for the listeners, what's a practical way for someone to get out of that mindset?
Look, how many of us would go to an art museum and buy a painting on the wall that, when we looked at it, made us sick to our stomach? So we took it home, put it on the wall, so every morning when we got up, we could feel sick. Nobody would do that. So the answer is, don't buy the painting. Wake up in the moment where you feel this stress or anxiety. Don't look for power in the face of a fearful pain. Refuse to render yourself powerless to it by identifying with it unconsciously. That's what it means to wake up, to be present to yourself.
So first recognize the pain or the fear. And yes. Then what would your next step be?
Well, you know, I really think this goes along with what kind of my realization for 2013 right now is to take control of your life.
Yes, but control, Kim, doesn't mean that I'm going to seize myself. Control means to understand that I don't have to be in the kind of control. Look, why am I, how do I say this? What am I afraid of today? If we look at our lives, most of the fears we have today are due to the plans we laid yesterday to be fearless.
So what would you say? What action will you take? Can I take to get out of that fear?
We're learning to wake up and to let go of what is hurting us. But in order to let go of what is hurting us, we must first become conscious of the fact that just because anxiety comes with a plan, or fear comes with a way to protect ourselves, seemingly, doesn't mean that those negative states are actually working on our behalf.
So, okay, what I'm hearing you say is, correct me if I'm wrong, you depict fear as an entity whose intention is to create fear. So if we give fear energy or give it any attention, it produces nothing else than fear.
Yes, we can say that. We can summarize it and say the following. Resistance to the disturbance is the disturbance. Mm-hmm. Resistance to the disturbance is the disturbance. In the New Testament, Christ said, resist not evil. The original Aramaic of that is, do not oppose what opposes you.
Because it's an energy of its own.
Exactly, because it's an innate form of energy. There is natural resistance. Without it, there'd be no creation.
So don't give it any energy. Don't give it any attention.
Do not give it energy. Mm. So that means that when you feel the fear, here's a poem that I wrote to explain this when it comes to fear. The feel is real, but the why is a lie.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I like mm-hmm. it.
The, so feel the feel is real, but the why is a lie. So that means that I have to be present to the real feeling while conscious of the fact that the part of me that's generating it and explaining to me why I have to feel that way is a lie. Then a true and natural separation not only takes place, but that dark energy that was formerly unconscious is brought into my awareness, which begins to act upon that nature, and the whole of the thing is transformed, including my sense of self.
And I think something that's really important, because we're such a fear-based society, is we set our goals based on moving away from fear versus moving towards something that we want. And that's really important, to set your goals not about something, you want something different because of something that you don't want, but really having this visual and this image of something that you do want, which is the ideal situation.
Well, look, let's ask another question. What if what we really want is to be free of fear? Not to own something that momentarily grants us that power. Because if I own something or acquire something...
I'm not necessarily talking about things. It's whatever it is. It's the lifestyle. It's the feeling. But it's not because you don't want something. It's because you want that ideal...
It's whatever, the action.
Whatever you want that you think is going to make you free will become the source of your captivity.
So the action
law.
Well, and then the action of doing whatever you're afraid of is the power over it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's another good way to look at it, that we learn actually to do what we don't want to do, to walk through the fear so as to prove to ourselves consciously that this terrible resistance, this reaction belongs to a lower mechanical part of our own nature. And that it has only the authority that it does because we identify with the feeling it produces and then try to escape the feeling, which really makes us the captive of the nature producing it.
Right, but what I'm saying is not to go there. What I'm saying is to actually identify the feeling that you do want.
Why? Why? Look, let me ask you a question. Why do I have to identify what I want if I understand that who and what I really am is already whole? Does wholeness look for happiness? Or does wholeness naturally
enjoy itself.
You take
steps towards it, no matter what that means. In order to sustain the wholeness, you take action steps to fulfill your spiritual, your mental.
No.
I'm not saying fix anything. I'm just saying you do things that sustain that feeling of being whole and complete.
And I'm saying to you that anything that you believe you have to do to sustain wholeness sits outside of wholeness, or you wouldn't be moved to do it. This is a completely different understanding. In the world, of course, it's better to be positive and move towards something that seems to fulfill you than it is to be afraid of something and run from it.
Well, I think
at a certain point, we have to realize that we have all moved towards those relationships we believe would make us whole. And when we get to them, we cross the finish line, and all we hear is another starting gun saying, look, now you're not feeling whole again. Now you've got to find the next thing to sustain this wholeness. That nature that tells us we have to do something to sustain what God has made us is a lie.
I totally get it. You guys don't get it.
I don't agree with him.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of
not
getting it. I understand what he's saying. But I think that action in general fulfills people. It doesn't have to be a big, but like, for instance, I'm going to give you an example. I love to do charity work. By not doing it, my life would be I think you have to have some action in your life. You can't just sit around and be unfearful.
No. Nobody said to sit on a hill and count pomegranate seeds.
Right. No, he's not talking about. He's saying what, and let me understand this correctly, is if you feel wholeness in your life, you're unstoppable. You can do anything.
Because you see, in this instance, because I want to strengthen, I don't know which of the ladies said it, something. The reason we're drawn, and we are drawn, to any relationship, whatever it is, charity, mountain climbing, bicycle riding, sailing, art, the reason we're drawn to any relationship is because it is through that relationship, and only through that relationship, that we are introduced to parts of ourselves that we're unconscious of without that relationship. So that when I fall in love with somebody, the reason that I do is because just being around them awakens in me something that isn't awakened ordinarily. And my love for them is in part due to the discovery of the fact that in me lives this love. I look out at nature. I see something breathtaking. Nature doesn't provide the breathtakingness of it. Nature awakens in me the depth and beauty, the profundity of a nature that I was asleep to a moment before.
In other words, we already are who we are.
Yes,
as a perfect being.
It's in us. It is innate. Mm-hmm. And life simply serves as a mechanism to reveal to us what we have yet to understand about ourselves.
And fear holds us back from who we are.
And fear is the belief that somehow life is trying to take something from us instead of inviting us to discover we have other qualities that need to be transcended.
So, Guy, let me ask you a question. I think my mic's not on. Is it on?
I can hear you.
Oh,
if
you
that
can?
Means
okay.
anything.
So, anyways, what I want to ask you is, for my listeners, for us in here, for everyone, how do we take steps? I mean, actual steps that can help us release our fear and really live at our highest and fullest potential, because really that's what we're talking about, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so you teach hundreds and hundreds of people to do this. Give us some steps that can relieve us. I mean, we're all starting a new year. Everybody starts off with new year resolutions, and then we get into the next place and we feel like, oh, we haven't fulfilled it. We're not being the person we're meant to be. We start to shut down, and that's kind of what fear to me would be, is you start to shut down in all these areas.
Yes.
How can we keep unstoppable and basically no red lights? To me, that is what fear is, a red light saying you can't do this. And I think that's the bottom of what you're talking about.
Yeah, we have to learn to recognize that the onset of fear isn't the rejection of what we wish. It is an invitation to discover another order of ourselves that has a completely different wish.
I like that. You know, for anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Guy Finley, and you know, he's all about really talking about getting rid of your fear, really living at your fullest potential,
using our fears, using our negative states for the purpose that they exist, which is to help us let go of that part of our past that has come forward that feels that unless life confirms it, we will lose something. Who you are, really are, cannot be inadequate to any given moment. It's impossible, because who you really are is created to change in any given moment.
So everything is perfect. Everything's the way it's supposed to be, correct?
Yes, but that doesn't mean without pain.
Without pain, exactly. And so when we feel the fear, we need to walk through it.
There's an exercise.
Please.
It's a three-step exercise. And if I might, because we haven't done it yet, may I give the listeners a web address that they can get free information, a free starter kit, all that business about what we're talking with?
Please. Please do.
If you go to GuyFinley.org, G-U-Y-F-I-N-L-E-Y, GuyFinley.org, right on the homepage, my foundation offers anyone who visits a free starter kit. It's a free PDF, free MP3s, resources that you could spend years going through for free at GuyFinley.org. And I do have a presence on Facebook and Twitter and all of that business, but GuyFinley.org. To get started with what we're talking about. Now the next thing is the exercise. This is called stop, drop, and endure. Stop, drop, and endure. And it encapsulates really everything we've been talking about. First part, stop. The moment that we feel that kind of surge, that contraction, the onset of a stress or a fear or a worry, we must meet it with the understanding that we're beginning to glean here, which is that we are not on this planet to sit in servitude to something that tells us we have to suffer over what someone else said, or over anything for that matter, that we're not here other than to become newer, freer, more loving human beings moment to moment, because we are being transformed moment to moment. So stop means that the minute we feel that surge, that pressure, that fear, we are going to become instantaneously as awake to ourselves as we can. That is our sole mission in life, to be present. I call to be in the presence moment.
Okay.
Fully present.
Yep.
Aware of our thoughts and our feelings and our body.
I like it.
Stop. Now the drop part comes next. What does it mean, drop? Well, if my intention is to remain aware of these thoughts and feelings, anything that's passing itself off into me, trying to drag me along with it into some yet other foolish plan of action, I'm going to now, instead of go along with these false guides, I'm going to drop them. I'm going to stand like a man or a woman at a gate who can literally see everyone coming to the gate of my soul, and by my awareness, know their character, and no one is getting in, meaning I'm not going to allow myself to participate in any thought or feeling that wants to drag me into fear or worry or anxiety. That's stop, and now I'm dropping.
Okay.
Just like hot potatoes. You know, you pick up a hot skillet, you don't think to yourself, I better put this down. The instinctual intelligence of the body drops it immediately.
Correct.
It's the same thing spiritually, Kim. If we could be aware of what anxiety, what fear is doing to us in the moment, instead of being identified with what it's promising us, we would drop it like a hot potato. So now stop, drop, and now endure.
And endure is?
Yeah. The endure part means we begin to understand that simply being aware of these things is the first stage. The second stage is the recognition that this part of our nature has a life of its own. It does not want to go gently into that good night. It's going to fight with everything it has to get us to identify with something that continues the pain and the chain of our fear.
So that's that negative voice, right?
That's right. We're going to endure the presence of these negative states consciously instead of unconsciously identify with them in the hope that they can lead us to the promised land. Perfect. They can't do it.
Right. Got it. Guy, again, this has been amazing. Can you let all my listeners know where to find you?
Again, guyfinley.org, G-U-Y-F-I-N-L-E-Y.org. And just for a little hearsay, if you will, The Courage to be Free, the book we're talking about, you can get it at my website. The shipping is only $1.99 anywhere in the United States, and it comes with a free 60-minute DVD. So it's better priced anywhere than any of the major online retailers. But all the big stores, online retailers, carry it. And you must act on this knowledge, listeners. I call it act knowledge. Begin to work with principles that are true and learn to see life through them. And gradually, you will know the truth of yourself and you will not be deceived by these false thoughts and feelings that presently punish you.
Well, thank you so much. Again, Guy Finley, and I appreciate you being a guest.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, everyone in the studio.
All right, you got it. Take care. All right. We should take a really quick break, and we will come back. We're going to have Aurora Winter on, and we're going to talk about we're kind of about feeling better. And so we'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Are you not feeling your best or want to improve your health? Tired of going to a traditional doctor? Roland Reif of Natural Health Care Center, located in Thousand Oaks, has a different approach. Instead of masking the pain with medications, eliminate the pain. Roland is on the American Board of Anti-Aging Health Practitioners and focuses on your overall goal with more than 20 years of experience in Eastern medicine, combining herbalology. Roland has been practicing acupuncture and Chinese since 1990. He incorporates his extensive knowledge of Western orthopedic. Let Roland help you learn how you can eliminate your condition and achieve optimal health and well-being. Call Roland 805-497-4074. That's 805-497-4074. If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally. On News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And our next guest is Aurora Winter. And Aurora Winter is America's leading expert in empowering people from heartbreak to happiness. And today we're going to talk about grief relief in 30 minutes. That's her newest book. And she's been on my show before, and I'm excited to talk to her again. Aurora, are you there?
I am. Great to be back on the show with you, Kim, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much. We've got Sharon Savitson, and we've got Marsha Hively, and we've got Roland Reif on, and who is our acupuncture, and he's got a whole nother thing that we're going to be talking about, which is amazing. So I just want to make sure everybody stays on with us. And Aurora, how are you?
I am just great. I'm so excited about my new book, which is coming out this month. It just came out, in fact. It's called Grief Relief in 30 Minutes, How to Go from Heartbreak to Happiness Using the Peace Method. So I just love people not to get stuck in grief or heartbreak, which, as you and I chatted about the last time, I define grief as the loss of hopes and dreams. So it could be a divorce, could be a breakup, could be a job loss, could be a bankruptcy, could be a special needs child, or it could be a death. So grief, to me, is all of that entire spectrum when people lose hopes and dreams.
And you know what? I mean, we were just talking about, I thought that this would be perfect for the new year because, again, you know, we set ourselves up sometimes to go through these, and there's a way that we don't have to have that pain.
And I think acknowledging that all of these things are painful, it's not just something that you necessarily see. It can be absolutely anything that causes you grief from that loss of hope, of whatever it is.
Right. And Aurora, tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Just, you know, I added a little bit, but, you know, you have so many things going on.
Yeah. Well, I got interested in happiness and bouncing back from heartbreak from personal perspective because my husband died suddenly at the age of 33. And we were best friends and business partners, and he was the father of my four-year-old son. So as you can probably imagine, I was pretty devastated, and it took me a long time to heal from grief. I read every self-help book I could get my hands on. I worked out at the gym like I was training for the Olympics. I dated a bunch of people before I hadn't worked through my grief. But until I put together this, or just, you know, kind of stumbled across a coaching recipe and some things to do to shift, I suffered. But now that I've figured out a quick method for people to go from heartbreak to happiness or to release their grief, that's my passion, to help people go from heartbreak to happiness more quickly. I'm the founder of the Grief Coach Academy. I train coaches how to help others release heartbreak from a death, divorce, breakup, special needs child, parent with Alzheimer's, all of that at the Grief Coach Academy. And as a kind of a gift to the world, my newest book, Grief Relief in 30 Minutes, I'm actually giving the first 500 copies away for free, and your listeners can get that for free as my gift if they want to visit griefreliefbook.com.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. So what is the typical relief in just 30 minutes? What is that?
Well, the specific coaching process that I teach in this book is a five-step process. Now, it's not the only coaching tool that we teach at the Grief Coach Academy, but it's a simple one that your listeners can learn right now, and they can do it as a journaling process themselves, or they can work with the grief coach. So it's one of my favorite coaching tools, and it really helps. So what you want to do is just identify one painful thought at a time. I liken a painful thought to like a brick in a brick prison that's keeping you imprisoned in sadness or despair or discouragement. And I focus on one brick at a time. This is if you were a prisoner trying to escape a real brick prison. If you tried to, you know, take down the whole wall, you would just get a sore shoulder. But if you focus on one brick at a wall, maybe you can get it loose, or maybe you can pop it out. And you don't need to take down the whole wall. You just need a big enough hole to escape. And it's the same way with heartbreak and grief. So this five-step process, first is identify one painful thought. Anybody want to volunteer one, or should I just use, you know...
One painful thought.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, this is Marcia, by the way, Aurora.
Hey, Marcia.
We've spoken before, and I totally understand where you're coming from. I lost three family members in 4 years. So, you know, it was overwhelming grief. And what I do want to say to the listeners is that grief comes in waves. And I think that's what you're talking about when you're in the middle of a wave of grief to talk about. Because you're obviously not going to get over that kind of pain in 30 minutes completely. But
oh, absolutely not. Let me explain that part of it. So what I find is if you take a shower in the morning, you can get very clean in 30 minutes. Doesn't mean you don't have to shower again tomorrow. You don't shower again for a year, you're going to be stinky. And it's the same with what I want to bust the myth. It just takes time, because people told me that when my husband died, so I just waited and waited and waited. But if you do this or another process for 30 minutes a day, over time, you will get through the grief much more quickly than if you wait. I can guarantee you that. Waiting is not the solution.
I think that that's great, and people need to know that.
It's just like exercising. If you exercise every day for a short period of time, in a very short period of time, you get in shape. If you don't do it at all, you stay out of shape. So
exactly. So the PEACE method is a process you can easily do in 30 minutes or less. I usually coach my clients 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes is ample time. And it's just, I loved your metaphor, it's just like working out at the gym. So this is like your favorite power yoga class or your favorite body sculpt class. It hits five different muscle groups. It doesn't do everything. You obviously still need to eat right, and it would help if you meditate and got enough sleep and drink water and did other healthy things. But you know what? If you go to that one favorite class that you have at the gym, it will transform your body over time. And you only really need to work out for 30 minutes to do that. And that's what I'm trying to get that in the conversation around grief. Don't just wait for years. Do something. Do the PEACE method. you know, every day for 30 minutes. There's other processes in grief relief in 30 minutes.
So what's the next one? So one break at a time.
So you identify one painful thought. So, for example, my painful thought was my husband's death is the worst thing that happened to me. So take a deep breath and come into the present moment. Even just taking a few deep breaths can really help. And ask yourself, is that painful thought about the past, the present, or the future? Because you can never change the past, which is where most of our grief resides. Mm-hmm. But you can never solve all potential future problems either. And that's a recipe for massive stress. But you can deal with the one problem / opportunity right here, right now. So my husband's death is the worst thing that ever happened to me is about the past, and it's also anticipating the future, which I can't know. So right away, that's helpful. The second step is to, the P of the peace method, present moment. The E of the peace method is express your feelings. So give yourself full permission to express all your icky, sticky feelings to a friend, a family member, a coach, in your journal. If you can't feel it, you can't heal it. And it's so very helpful and therapeutic to just get it out there rather than denying those
or
icky,
stuff it, right?
Or stuff
yeah,
it.
There you go. Because a lot of people want to stuff it because they're like, nobody wants to hear it anymore, or, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You wish that you didn't have those feelings. But, you know, Bottom Line Health published a study in May 2008. They discovered that women who stuffed their feelings after fighting with their husband were 4 times more likely to die in a 10-year period. So stuffing your feelings can literally kill you.
Wow. So and I thought men stuffed their feelings more than women.
Yeah. But stuffing your feelings either.
Period.
Sucks. Not.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Okay. So A.
So the A is to see if you could just accept. So in that first example, my husband's death is the worst thing that ever happened to me. If I can just allow that that could be true and stop fighting or resisting it and make peace with it, that can even be interesting or helpful. So just like, you know, if you have got a 5-year-old kid and they come in crying from the yard, mommy, mommy, I hurt myself. If you send them away and say, stop crying, it's not going to go well. But if you say, climb on my lap and tell me all about it, you know, something interesting could happen there. So accepting my husband's death is the worst thing that ever happened to me.
You know, before you move on,
peaceful.
You know, I just want to say, when you listen to a lot of women, they'll say to you, I know that I shouldn't be feeling this way.
Yeah.
Or I know that I should already be over it. Or I know that I should be moving on.
Exactly.
So it is, it's just acknowledging that you are where you are in any given moment. That's exactly where you're meant to be.
Exactly. And should, I think, is the most violent word in the human language.
Right.
We should on ourselves. I love your voice, by the way. Yes, beautiful.
Thank
accent.
You.
It's so melodious.
Yeah.
Or if you like, the A could look for things to appreciate. You can do either or. So my husband's death is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I could actually appreciate that I loved him so much, that our relationship was so precious, that it was so wonderful. And so I could shift from agony to appreciation with just a moment asking myself, you know, what could I possibly appreciate about that?
Okay.
Well, and so, sometimes in grief, as I was talking about waves of grief, some days you could appreciate it and some days you could just accept it. So
exactly.
You know, you don't have to pick one or the other all the time.
Exactly. Exactly right.
And so the next one is C. So
C is for considering the contrary. So my husband's death was the worst thing that ever happened to me. The exact contrary would be my husband's death was the best thing that ever happened to me. And actually, I can actually find truth in that, especially now, but even earlier, because through his death, he became my greatest spiritual teacher. Through his death, I had a wake-up call to what really matters in life. And now, 20 years after his death, you know, I'm the founder of the Grief Coach Academy, and I really find it very meaningful to help others. And I would never have done that if he hadn't died.
And I think the only way you could do that, you have to accept the fact you can't change what happened. So,
exactly.
You know, you can look at all sides of what happened and realize that by saying that you accept it or whatever, that you're not, you know, discarding it. You know,
exactly. That's why the 5 steps sort of build on themselves. And sometimes one step will give you a great deal of insight or wisdom or peace, and the other steps won't. Or sometimes all 5 of them will. Like, I'm not attached. It's just like working out at the gym. You know, if you do these 5 muscle groups, it will help over time. And then the final step of the peace method is enthusiasm. And I love that flavor of that word because it literally means to be filled with God and feel. So what are you filled with God about, or what are you inspired to do, or what action do you consciously choose? So the action might be anything from, you know, a feeling like my husband's death is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I might feel enthusiastic about noticing that I had, you know, 4 hours of sleep the night before and having a nap. I might feel enthusiastic about getting out for a walk in the sunshine. I might feel enthusiastic about reaching out to a friend and having a call. So it doesn't matter what the thing is, but to take some forward momentum, I find is very, very helpful. So that, in real quick, is
I feel that way about my divorce. I mean, I look back and I even said to my, I always say this, I said to my ex-husband the other day, I said, you know, thank you for everything that I've gone through, because I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I wouldn't be the coach that I am. I really feel like it's empowered me in so many ways, and I wonder what my life would have been like, you know, had I not been through what I've been through, but very grateful for every single part of the journey to bring me to the step.
And
to this place.
Aurora, you know what I love about this? I mean, really, you could take this into
anything.
Part of your life, because you wake up and maybe it's not such a great day for you today. Okay, let's kind of go through the steps. It's almost like meditating, or it's like empowering yourself to switch that switch in your mind to do better, to change it, to go, okay, so, because if we all lived, you know, where I was talking to somebody the other day, and all we had was ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. After a while, you wouldn't want to have ice cream. So I think that those dips in our lives actually give us strength to be higher in other areas.
And I think the other thing is to start looking for the solution instead of staying in the problem. So knowing that in every situation there is the opposite of that. There is a good side to it. You know, what is the good that's come out of it? So being able to turn it around and looking at the solution rather than the problem.
I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show here on AM 1520 every Saturday from 2 to 4. And our guest right now is Aurora Winter. And we're talking about grief relief in 30 minutes. But really, it's really about changing that mindset and not sitting there stagnant with, it's okay. We all have things that don't go our way. I mean, every single day, every single minute. And you know, we need to even teach our children, you know, if you don't do good on a test, you can do better. You know, you can change it. Reflect on where you've come from and where you're going. And I think that's kind of the bottom line of what you're talking about. And so how can people recover from after a setback?
Well, besides using the peace method or various other processes such as the loving kindness meditation or exercise or various things like that, and you know, like you were mentioning, it's not just grief. Everybody's got stress in their life, so it's helpful to have something like the peace method, because not everybody in our society is comfortable meditating. So the peace method is five steps that are sort of meditative that will help you. I think the three real keys to recovering after a setback, death, divorce, breakup, job loss, etc., are these three things. Kindness. So the first 3 months, I really invite people to devote to kindness to themselves and to others.
I like that.
I love that. I love the Buddhist loving kindness meditation, which is a great practice to deepen that. But just be kind to you and others.
Right.
The second 3 months, I really invite people to devote to connecting to yourself, connecting to the God of your understanding, and connecting to other people. People can get stuck in isolation.
Yes, you are so right. You're so right. We shut down. We isolate.
Yeah, and that's okay to do for, you know, a little bit if you just need, like, a turtle to sort of pull in for a little while. But the second 3 months, you should really focus with the theme of connection. And then the third trimester, if you like, so taking you on the last leg of the journey, is really to find ways that you can say yes to life. Grief is about saying no to life and to the present moment. And even though I have great compassion for whatever happened to you in the past that was agonizing, nonetheless, saying no now, grieving now, means that you're polluting the beautiful present moment and the future with the past. So let go of the past. It's not going to change anyway. And say yes to life. So find ways that you can say yes to life. So those are my three keys: kindness, connection, and then saying yes.
I love it. I really do. That really, I mean, if you can just remember that, so many of us get stuck when things don't go right. And that's really life. It isn't always going to be right. And so if you just turn it around and say yes to life, life is a gift every single day. And you can choose to live through it and to make it your best, or you can lose, you know, that time and, you know, you'll shut down and you won't have another day. That's just not, you know, that's not something we can do. So,
yeah.
You know, so great tips, great things that you've talked about. Leave us with, I mean, that right there is a great tip, but how can we boost our happiness?
I think some really great ways to boost your own happiness are to really come into your body. You know, I love the Buddhist loving kindness meditation. I do it every morning for at least 15 minutes. It's just four phrases, and the phrases are, may I be filled with loving kindness. May I be safe from inner and outer danger. May I be at ease and happy. May I be healthy in body and mind. You can say them in any order. I recommend, you know, maybe 5 minutes on yourself, 5 minutes on other people that you love, maybe 5 minutes on more challenging people, or you can build up to it depending on where you are. So that is really great. And then anything you do where you breathe deeply, we're shallow breathers and we hold on to our heartbreak and grief when we don't breathe.
Right.
So, you know, go to the gym, go for a walk, or just breathe. Also, move your body. I think your body has its own happiness. So if you can help your body become happier, it'll be easier for you to deal with the challenges. So get enough sleep. Look up. Smile. Laugh.
Right. Aurora, you know what? Stay with us for a second. We're going to do the news, and we'll be right back because I want you to post that for all my listeners. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.